If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Tonight our topic is Visitors from Other Worlds. So let's begin with a nice attunement. Take a deep breath. And call yourself forward into the anointing of a spirit-led son and daughter of God. Feel that energy pour down over you in a series of warm goosebumps. Perhaps the body starts to rock and dubbin back and forth. You will feel a connection as it connects. Not that you have to look for a feeling, but often the Holy Spirit indicates His presence in a very tangible way. That's because His pure spirit connects with the electromagnetic field of the negative levels, spirit being the positive and the physicality down here being the negative. There is a sense of electrical charge that often goes through the body, almost like a jolt. This is what produces the kriyas that people sometimes have when they are connecting consciously with spirit. Some of you may not have that because your connection is more consistent and ongoing. And also the kriyas serve to clear the pathway and make straight the way of the Lord, so that that which would be a block within the nervous system is suddenly cleared by the higher light as it intersects with the physicality. To hold the energy of the living God within us, we need to be straight as an arrow, straight in our intention, and on purpose with our lives in terms of consecration and devotion and dedication to housing the spirit of the living God, which has chosen man alone in which to dwell. So with this attunement, I want you to focus your attention in the center of your head. And sit on a bar between your ears like a golden, happy child. And within the center of your head, you who sit in the center of your skull like a happy child, is a beautiful golden thread that is attached to a golden balloon. See it coming right up in the very center of your skull, up through the top of your head. And know that that golden thread of light is the narrow way that Jesus spoke of. That is the radiant way with a capital W. That is the way into the kingdom of God. When you meditate, go there. Find that golden thread and allow it to pull you up through the levels into the very presence of the Most High. You will hear a singing and a ringing radiance within you that may sound like crickets or birds or musical instruments, or even the chorusing of angels. Maybe the sound of many waters as the elders and the angels bow and glorify God. That, my beloved, is the living word within you that has taken incarnation as you. That is the voice of truth, the comforter, the one who comes alongside you, the one who reveals and teaches you all things that the Lord would have you know directly from within. This is the wisdom. This is the discernment. This is the knowing. This is the presence of the Most High God. And you are in His direct presence. This is the secret place of the Most High. This is the door that no man can shut. This is the way, the truth, and the life. This is the way by which we return our awareness to that which is our divine inheritance and heritage. You need never leave that place, really. You can sing the name of the Lord and worship in spirit and in truth at all times. With practice and cultivating the presence of God consciously, you will find that the name of God begins to sing and ring through every cell of your being until your whole life becomes a pan of praise. Your whole life becomes a walking prayer and an adoration of the Most High. Yes, you will feel a tingling on your skull, perhaps a warm mantle placed about your shoulders. Perhaps you will be healed and delivered from things that afflict and cause you to be in bondage. That is the anointing and saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That sets the captives free and breaks off the yokes of bondage. That is a supernatural empowerment in which you are to be filled with such continual overflowing glory that the greater works that Jesus said you would do also, even as he did and more, is the very receiving of the full mantle of your inheritance. Those of you who would try to keep you ignorant and small and confined to narrow doctrines in which you're always positioned less than and in need of or in a position of continual supplication are doing you a great disservice, for they're not allowing you to enter in and to sup with the Lord directly. He said, I stand at the door and knock, and whosoever should open that door, I will enter and sup with him. That supping means the partaking of the bread of life, which is the living word of God that sustains us. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, that's what he was referring to. You consume, you eat, you partake of. You are nourished by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that word is within you now, rocking your body, comforting your insecurities, not comforting them in a weak sense, but assuaging them, let's say, comforting you in the true comfort, which comes from knowing your invulnerability as a being, a spirit, ever one with God. And so tonight we look at truth. Truth through the lens of visitors who have come from other worlds from the very, very beginning of this planetary, let's say, receding after the last polar shift and subsequent recolonization. Yes, there was a planetary civilization that was spoken of as the pre-Adamic race. In fact, in the book of Genesis, between chapters 1 and 2, there was a large portion of scripture left out, which one finds scattered in the book of Jeremiah. But in truth, it's written in a way that you can't get the full flavor of it, because it tells of a world which Commander Valiant Thor calls Quello. It was a very, very advanced civilization. Excuse me. But as so many times happens on this planet, people become full of themselves. They forget to glorify God. They forget their source. They fall asleep, as it were, and they enter into the ego-driven desire to become greater than God and to mount up above God and to exalt themselves rather than the Creator. And so it so often happens with succeeding civilizations that do that, they eventually destroy themselves. And that's why in Genesis, the second chapter, it speaks of the world being dark and misshapen and void with no life. And we know nothing that God touches is in that state. So there had to have been a tremendous catastrophe. Well, what was a catastrophe? A massive galactic battle and a fall, which, bear in mind, occurred only in the ego's nightmare, but nevertheless, it is experiential in time and space, and it has imprinted itself in our memory, let's say, to the point that we often have night terrors about these things, not knowing where their origin comes from. I think a lot of the, panic attacks people speak of very often come from having parts of their consciousness, like their basic selves, that actually remember in the genetics and in the DNA these prior civilizations. That's not to excuse it, but it is to perhaps shed a little light on why irrational fears sometimes arise in people, particularly now since we're at a time where we're revisiting this polar shift scenario and in preparation to be lifted into a new version of the heavens and the earth. So the legends and myths of the star visitors who have come to Earth have filled every single one of the religious scriptures and the creation stories and have been passed down in the oral traditions of all cultures. In fact, every single one, without exception, speaks of advanced visitors who came from the stars and worlds beyond Earth. The most well-known of these visitors was, of course, the Lord Jesus the Christ, who made no bones about it. He, by his own account, said that he was a king from a kingdom not of this earth. He said he was the Messiah, which means the Anointed One. And he also said that those of us who follow him are also not of this world. And so though he was and is God and the creator of this planet and this universe, he came into this world, and yet the world didn't recognize him. Why? Because they preferred darkness, and he came as the light. And when you're dead in darkness, you don't like someone to bring a bright light and disrupt your activities, which are best done in the dark. So those of us who come also as his light in this world, we're rejected by those who prefer darkness. We're persecuted and maligned by those who prefer darkness. This shouldn't surprise any of us. We were told by Jesus that in this world we would have persecution, but that those who endured to the end would receive a crown of life, a crown of glory, and eternal life. So whatever we lose in this world, which is at best a dream field, a ship of fools, an ego gone amok, as I often call it, everything that you seem to lose within the nightmare will be restored to you Jesus said 100-fold, whatever you lose on my behalf, husbands, children, wives, houses, possessions, whatever, your very life, you will gain 1,000 times over. In this world, in fact, he says, in this life, in this world, and eternal life in the world to come. So a great deal of this, we really need to transcend into that inner living word within us to have that Holy Spirit that indwells us decode and reveal from within these inner truths, because you won't find it outwardly. You can't find it vicariously through another or in a written book. It's too sacred to be written in any book, even the most sacred book. So know that the scriptures, the true scriptures of light, the treasury of all knowing, is within you, in your innermost secret place in which you dwell under the shadow of the Most High. And again, a certain mystical speak has to be inserted here, because those who know what I'm talking about need no further instruction. They know. I'm simply validating what they know. And those that have not yet quite made that revelation or that connection within themselves will be encouraged to keep pushing in, keep pressing on into the things that God has preordained you to receive. You are predestined. You who are the children of God are predestined into these things. So you are simply reappropriating that which God has marked with your name all along. You cannot possibly lose what God has marked and predestined for you. So let's revisit our scriptures in terms of their real meanings. Visitors from more advanced worlds have had ongoing contacts with the people of Earth. The true meanings were either deleted or reworded or put in apocryphal scripts. They do exist. But in other words, there was some attempt made by those with a power and control agenda to veil their obvious otherworldly connotations. It's interesting, huh? Why in the world would they do that? Well, I think it's rather obvious that there is a group of entities on this planet that have one thing in mind, and that is global domination, population subjugation, and world control. It's interesting, our first contacts, our meaning the Ashtar Command, our first flyover in this particular, let's say, cycle of time, because we operate in cycles, we started interacting with people in Europe in 1946, and in the United States in 1947, with the flyover of Mount Rainier, and shortly thereafter, the flyover of Washington, D.C., that same year, 1947, the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, of which only about 30% of the information of over 800 plus scrolls has been so far released to the public. Why is that? Well, because if the information is shared, the power headlock and authority over humanity would be broken. We are meant to be fully empowered supernaturally by the infilling and indwelling of the same resurrection power which filled Jesus and raised his body to immortal life and performed miracles through him. We, every single one of us, are meant to walk in that full degree of empowered glory. Not to our glory, but to the glory and evidence of Almighty God. Now, could we see something of a threat there to the dark agenda? Hello. Now, the Dead Sea Scrolls, interestingly enough, were revealed just 1948. Israel became a recognized nation. She's often been called the timepiece, for the unfolding scenario that we're currently in. So it was important that she be a restored nation, complete with a people that were gathered from all the nations since the diaspora, and miracle of miracles, after 3,000 years of dispersal throughout all these different nations, they returned to their land intact, the religion intact, with a pure language, the Hebrew, intact, and their traditions intact. That, my dears, is a total miracle of God. No other race of people in all of history has done that. But it was prophesied by God that he would do that, and he did. So, the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Bible codes, which have been making a lot of, getting a lot of information with people who like to really study and seek out the truth, the Bible codes clearly reveal the otherworldly contacts that have been ongoing throughout the ages, the coming and going of more advanced beings from other worlds to Earth, and they point again and again to the sovereignty and absolute highest level that Jesus the Christ holds as Messiah. Very many Bible codes confirm again and again the work of the cross and the work that Jesus accomplished on behalf of all humankind. So, clearly it tells that humanity was seated here from other planets, and that our scriptures describe ongoing contact and communication with worlds and civilizations beyond Earth. This is very, very clear in the Dead Sea Scrolls. This is, in fact, these Dead Sea Scrolls are kept under lock, key, armed guards. You know, you are dead, period, if you get anywhere close to where you could possibly get into where those Dead Sea Scrolls are kept in Israel. So it's impossible to get near them physically. But, of course, if you can soul travel, you have every right in the world to go and see them and read them, and you certainly can do that. Now, Commander Valiant Thor has decoded and given very, very much information regarding the Dead Sea Scrolls, and you can get a DVD with Dr. Frank Strange's and the information presented by Valiant Thor about the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's interesting. Valiant Thor said that Jesus was not only Savior, Jesus was actually the God that created this entire universe and this planet, and that the sons of God are you and I, those of us that came with the Lord. But he was much more than simply the Son of God. He was God. And that is something that Commander Valiant Thor makes very clear. It's very stunning to hear this man from another world that has attained immortality and is such an advanced soul speak about the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It's very, very riveting, very stunning, and very wonderful. So, why has this information been withheld from humanity? Well, again, you must have noticed that certain ones claim to have power and control, and they maintain it by manipulating the global economy primarily. Then they edit media that is then released. They manipulate the political figureheads so that it doesn't actually matter which party you're on. They all work for the same agenda. And then you have the manipulation through the arenas of science and religion. Now, science right now, in its fallen aspect, is trying very hard to make you think that you have no divine creator and no divine component, that you're an accident of some sort of big blast and chemical molecules that suddenly came together as a result. They're trying to tell you in another version that you've evolved from apes. And then they're trying to tell you that you actually just are the victim of chemical changes in the brain, that you don't really have any immortal component. If that isn't a doctrine from the pit of hell, I don't know what is. And then religion. Religion, when it is working under the agenda of the fallen ones, tries to keep you small, tries to keep you as far away from being genuinely born again as possible, tries to eliminate every reference to the work of the cross, the power of the blood that broke off the yoke of bondage from all humanity and from the domination of the dark forces, tries to tell you there is no Satan, there is no sin, there is no absolute truth. And again, you're just a human that is something very, very separate from Almighty God that sits up in the sky somewhere on a throne and is waiting to punish you for just about everything that you do that's truly joyful and liberating. So you have this dark agenda prevalent wherever there's organization and money and power. These are the things you've got to really watch out from. Why do you think Sai Baba said to have as little to do with money as possible and to stay out of politics? Now, some of you may say, well, if we all stay out of politics, how are we going to bring any change? I have news for you. The world will never change. The world is simply a distorted thought form that we have believed into and keep propagating by the thought that we have to somehow fix it. Listen, everything that needed to be fixed about you and the fallen world was already accomplished by Jesus Christ on Calvary. It's finished. It's done. So why keep trying to heal that which has already been healed? Why keep trying to restore that which has already been restored? Why keep trying to undo that which has already been reestablished and bridged through by grace? Yes, grace, unmerited favor, the unconditional loving favor of God has visited this planet directly as Jesus Christ and has set the captives free. That's every soul born into this fallen world system. But if they don't know they're free, if they have no understanding of the true gospel message of Jesus Christ, then they're going about still trying to fix themselves, still trying to earn the grace and love of God, still trying to do the works and the techniques and the whatever to realize the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. And he said to live connected to him, like branches connected to a grapevine. That if we stayed connected to that juice that flows through him and from him, that anointing, that Zoe powerful resurrection life power, if we stay connected to the juice, we would produce much fruit. What is that fruit? It's love, joy, peace, patience, faith, goodness, kindness, self-control, and humility. Ninefold fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is the fruit evidenced in the life of a person who is connected to the juice that we call Jesus the Christ. That is the anointing of the divine spirit that flows through you. And the evidence that you have passed from death to life is that you have love one for the other. Your heart is so filled with mercy and compassion and empathy and tender regard for all life that you melt at the distress of another and will give your own life to do anything possible to assist them. That is not possible out of our flesh. That is only possible by a renewed heart and mind and a reborn, regenerated spirit that only Jesus the Christ can ignite and quicken and facilitate within us. There is no other evidence of this transformation occurring from any other source that I've found, and I've looked pretty much everywhere you could look for that sort of thing. There's a lot of good work. There's a lot of powerful things. There's a lot of reincarnation and karma and opportunities, let's say. But the only one that I have found that has come to set the captives free, and actually, in fact, does that, is the Lord Jesus Christ, who often transforms in a second the most bedraggled and degraded life. Who can do that but God? Who can completely bypass the time element and regenerate on the spot an addicted, tortured, miserable, demon-possessed personality and turn them into a saint? Only Almighty God. Now, that is something you have to look at, because this kind of teaching, this kind of truth is not told to you anywhere. Nobody's talking about these things. And I was a person going around going, why? Why is this? And it's because I can see the dark hand of agenda that wants to keep you limited, ignorant, small, doesn't want you to be filled with the Spirit of the living God and set on fire with a passion and purpose of a Spirit-led son of God, daughter of God. And I say son, I mean proactive light. It's a proactive dynamite. It's dunamis power, which is the same root in Greek that the word dynamite comes from. The dunamis power of God is meant to fill you. Yes, you're not being taught that. Very, very few churches teach this. They want to be user-friendly. They want to be politically correct. So they eliminate everything that would make you in any way in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ by marginalizing him in their attempts to suppress the truth. Oh, they'll lob him in with all the other prophets. They'll lob him in with the other ascended masters. They'll lob him in with the other initiates. I've begun to see the dark agenda in almost every single teaching that I cut my baby teeth on when I was in esotericism for many years. It's really interesting. All, just about everything that I have studied, I find, is linked to the Illuminati and the New World Order, which is pretty much dominated by now the totality of the ecumenical movement, the New Age teachings. That's probably going to raise the hackles of some of you, but go check it out for yourself. The New Age teaching, almost without exception, points you away from Jesus and into putting your power into someone or something outside of yourself. Go on, check it out. People are channeling everything in their dog. but they're not accessing the direct knowing of the Spirit of the living God within them. Or if they are, they're contacting astral entities who say, "Greetings, I am God," or some other malarkey. And then there'll be this patronizing message that leaves you no better, no transformed, no different than when you first heard it, but maybe a little more placated into mediocrity and ignorance and sleep. I'm speaking rather forcefully tonight. I asked really for God to give me a very, very clear understanding of what he wanted said to you tonight. And I'm just trusting that the Holy Spirit is saying exactly what some of you listening tonight need to hear. So when you are pointed outward, outside yourself, to any graven image, that would be a book, an organization, a teacher, a guru, anything that is material of this world, you are being pointed in the wrong direction. Why do you think the deepest and truest and purest teachings can only be imparted to you supernaturally through divine revelation? My heavens, great saints have spent their entire lifetimes in caves and in most austere circumstances to have just a second or two of divine revelation, like John the Revelator, for example, to whom Jesus Christ appeared and gave him the book of Revelation. Why do you think he was called the beloved disciple? Because he loved Jesus with every fiber of his being. Yes. And that is what we're called to do also. And when you place God first in your life and prioritize that passionate relationship and intimacy with the Lord, everything that the Lord has yearned to reveal to you will be revealed. When you no longer want power and recognition for your personal self, when you no longer in a supposition of, "Dear God, please bless me, heal me, help me," whatever, when you give up that self-focus and die at his feet in your flesh, and are born again to renewed new life in him, everything is revealed to you, and not a second before. That's why these teachings are very protected from the unprepared, the ignorant, and the undeserving. Yes, there are many who are undeserving. It says in the scriptures, "Don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they turn and rend you." So there is a certain reticence that all of us who are called to speak the gospel and the teachings of the Lord are given as a quickening and a check also in our spirit when we're not supposed to say certain things. So that's why you can't think what you're going to say beforehand. You can't pre-plan anything. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to put the words into your heart, mind, and mouth at the right time, in the right way, in the right sequence, and not think that you depend on your own strength or your own understanding. You follow the Lord, and you don't lean on your own understanding. And in everything, you seek his counsel, his will, his way, his revelation. And as you do that, he directs your path. Just that simple. You don't have to think about it. That's the glory of living a life that is directed by grace, that is filled with the Holy Spirit, is that you literally can forget yourself. You can live to be a flame of fire, a minister that is God's flame of fire in this world. And you don't have to think about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear, where you're going to live. Everything is provided once you have made that as your sole occupation. This is radical, radical spirituality. Because to live like this, you have to fly in the face of everything and everyone and everything that is going to be said and thrown against you to keep you from doing that. But that is the way that you walk. in that new born-again life. And when you do that, your presence on the earth, whether you open your mouth or not, will change the nation in which you dwell. It will shake the very firmament of the earth, because a living, spirit-filled son and daughter of God has now awakened and walks the earth. And when you know who you are in Christ and in God, you can do all things through Him. All things. Everything that you ask from this state of consciousness is immediately given you. But it's interesting, because when you're at that stage, you probably won't even think to pray or ask for anything for yourself. It just doesn't enter your mind. You just aren't interested in yourself at all. You're driven with a passion to be in the presence and to share that presence with everyone. And that's about it. That's it. And you become more and more and more quiet and still in that inner presence that roars the name of God. So, the forms and the organizational, let's say, control patterns that have kept in place a worldview of limitation, imperilment, danger, and destruction is all orchestrated and underwritten by the Dark One. Every single one of them. I've often spoken of the Dark One as Kal, which is a Sanskrit word that means dark and black and time. So in time, we're under that dark, suppressing spirit. And all the world systems are dominated by that, because they all point to death. And your vulnerability and fragility and your quote-quote need of all their magic potions and incantations and witchery to save yourself. You know, that's the whole magic thought system of the ego mind, is to take this pill, pop this remedy, do this, do that, you know, and you'll feel better. None of them, not one of them, will tell you that Jesus Christ bore every single disease, every infirmity, every grief, every sorrow, every curse, every negative thing that could possibly befall you. He already bore it on His own body, and it was completely blotted out at the cross. Blotted out. You don't have to go through it, because He stood in your place and took the full brunt of the fall Himself. He was the fall guy for all of you, so that you could be whole and completely walk in a restored life through grace. That's the real gospel message. So every planet, sun and moon, is inhabited. Everyone has an interior and an inner world, an inner realm, complete with a sun and beautiful mountain ranges and everything exactly as if you were on the surface of a planet, with one thing. All of them are not subject to the violent storms. In fact, most planets created and inhabited, their interior realms after they got tired of being bombarded like we are right now with storms and, you know, asteroid impacts and fallen extraterrestrial races that are not the good guys that want to come and pirate different planets and subjugate and enslave the populations for their own agendas. So there's bad guys out there too. So likewise, our Earth has a beautiful inner Earth realm that some of you are connected with, and I'm also connected with that. And there's an inner Venus, an inner Mars, an inner Jupiter. And Commander Alien Thor says that these are all lush and green and gorgeous, and that many people apparently will be taken to the interior worlds of different planets, as the Father, as the Lord Jesus has said, in my Father's house are many worlds, many mansions, and I have prepared them for you, and you shall visit them and dwell within them. That's what it says in the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's a little more explicit. And I will come and take you that we may live forever together in these beautiful worlds. So it's pretty expansive and wonderful when you hear the undiluted truth that the Lord Jesus has come to teach and to impart to us. And remember, he said at the time that there were many things he wanted to say, but people were not ready to hear them yet. And even his own apostles really didn't understand him or his teachings at all until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And by then, Jesus had also returned back home to the Father, or back to the divine throne realm, to be more precise here. So, you know, since then, the ball has been tossed into our court, and we are now the ones in whom a collective Christ, as a body of Christ, is now operating. We are the body of the Lord in time and space through which he operates and accomplishes everything through his indwelling spirit within us. So, you know, it's now us to do those greater works that Jesus has prepared for us to do. So I've heard tell that Russia and the United States and possibly some other nation are said to have bases on our moon and also upon Mars. That's no surprise to a lot of you, for at one time that program was called by the military Majestic 12 or Alternative 3. And we can presume they had an Alternative 1 and 2 as well. Now, apparently, the human agents of planetary control and domination, called variously the Cabal, the New World Order, the Illuminati, the Dark Forces, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, had a plan to abandon Earth and colonize Mars or the Moon. And then they found out that the entire solar system was undergoing the dimensional shift, actually the whole universe, the whole galaxy. So there was really no place to run to or to escape. So I've heard also from Ashtar since then that many of these have defected from the dark forces and have embraced the light, which is a very wise thing for them to do. Many of these beings do not have souls. They've lost their souls, which means conscience, and they're going to have to be reconstituted and reworked, so to speak, so that they can have a conscious soul, consciousness, and a conscience, which is sensitive to the Spirit of God. So they need a lot of work before they're going to be able to qualify to ascend, but at least they're on the right track. So these dark ones control by confusion, inserting a little truth with misinformation, distracting you, getting you addicted to chemicals and drugs and smoking and alcohol and pornographic things and everything that will keep you earthbound, enslaving by keeping the population in bondage to debt, constantly doubting, you know, God and truth and all of that, seeking but never finding, to keep them wedded to ignorance and afraid to seek out the answers for themselves. In fact, some churches will even tell you that everything, if it's not written in the Bible, is of the devil, so don't read it. So, you know, then people are in bondage to this book. And the book, again, is a material thing. Yes, it has truth in it. Of course it has truth in it. But the Word of God is not limited to a book. It's inside you. It's the living Word inside you, not the written Word. Although the written Word is a good place for people to start. but it's not a good place to end. Then, these dark ones try food additives, chemical additives, food modification, and now there's an attempt at consciousness and mood engineering. And, you know, those of you that have complained about the chemtrails and all that stuff. Now, lest you be paranoid about this, you have already been given control and dominion over Satan and all of his dark forces. You have control and dominion. They tremble in your presence because if you know who you are and the authority in whom you work and in whose name you operate, they can't do a thing but try to throw you off balance, catch you in one of your areas of weakness, throw up your past, accuse you, try to get you feeling guilty, or stuff like that. Be too smart to fall into those traps. The dark one is called the accuser of the brethren. So the Holy Spirit will never accuse you. The Holy Spirit points out who you are in Christ. The Holy Spirit reminds you of what Jesus taught. The Holy Spirit does not throw up your sins in your face, does not remind you of things of your past. Those are all the dark ones. So what you do is that you bless your food and your water, whatever it is you eat and drink, before you put it in your mouth, you bless it in the name and authority and power of Jesus. And you ask that anything that's not for your highest good be cleared out of it. Done. Finished. I found out when we were clearing Montauk that the name of God completely neutralizes all of the psychotronic warfare probes that they tried to put into us when we were doing our mission. They cannot penetrate the name of God. The name of God is so powerful, that vibration lifts you totally out of reach of all the dark ones, as does applying the blood of Jesus verbally and as a visualization over your life and everyone and everything in your life. They absolutely cannot penetrate the vibration of the blood of Jesus Christ. These are your most powerful, powerful ways to walk in the world right now. But be wise. Discern the spirits. Be very wise. Follow no one but the Holy Spirit within you. Follow no spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Do not give them one second of attention. Don't read their channelings. Don't buy their books. Don't go to their seminars. Don't have anything to do with them. They are agents, whether conscious or unconscious, of the dark ones who only want to confuse you and insert false doctrines into your minds so that you don't come into the fullness of everything that the Father has planned for you, which is a fully liberated, empowered, divine life. So all of these visitors from the various star nations come with a unified message to the planet which we call Shan, or Shan, and Kal Nayar, which means negative child in the Venusian tongue. So the negative child is going to be the footstool of the Lord. That's its destiny. The Lord Jesus Christ will take dominion here and will rule and reign. And this planet will become an outpost of the divine throne realms. That's the ultimate end of this planet, is its induction into the United Council of the Peaceful and United World Systems that are under the Divine Throne Magistrate of the Most High. So that's what we're working for, folks. That's why we came as a team of light workers and star seed to this planet, was to help to prepare humanity and this planet to move into its true inheritance. So you're living in a cycle in which you're going to be increasingly experiencing contact by members of the Confederation of Man. And again, you have to kind of really discern, because there's a lot of people out there calling themselves the Federation of this and the Confederation of that. But again, you don't take them by their words. You see their actions and you see who they serve. And if they don't mention Jesus as the head of their whatever it is they're doing, and they don't show forth the fruit of the Spirit, you know that they're lying spirits, and you don't have to pay any attention to them. The last seminar I spoke of the Venusian commander, Valiant Thor, who is an immortalized master soul who came from Venus with a very special offer of assistance to planet Earth. I want to go over this again because it's so important. He arrived in 1957 in a spaceship, which didn't exactly land on the White House lawn, but very nearby in Arlington, Virginia, which is just across the bridge from Washington, D.C. And for 3 years, he was accommodated in an apartment within the Pentagon. And as you can imagine, he was subjected to a whole range of tests, because everyone who knew of him was, of course, extremely curious about this man who came from the stars, specifically the planet referred to as the Morning Star, or Venus. And he said he came from the interior of Venus. Now, he had no fingerprints, because he said the fingerprints are the sign of the fall. He said that there were many civilizations that had never entered into the Luciferian Great Rebellion. And he and his civilization upon Venus were non-fallen sons and daughters of God that had never broken covenant with God. You might ask, well, what is the covenant with God? The covenant is one of unbroken fellowship and communion of the heart with the Supreme Creator. It's that love that unites you and unites you as one with God always. And according to Commander Valiant Thor, that Supreme Creator, the God of this entire universe, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is God himself, come in the guise of the Son of Man. But truly, the Son of Man and the Son of God is all of us who come as a collective sonship at this time. So another Venusian commander immediately springs to mind, as you hear of Commander Valiant Thor, and what he has to say, and that's Commander Ashtar. Ashtar is also a non-fallen son of God, who is pledged since long eons ago to the loving service of the Most Radiant One, Lord Sananda Kumara, or Jesus Emmanuel, the Christ. So, Jesus is the anointed king and the rightful sovereign of the earth and of all creation. However, Commander Ashtar, as the sector commander of this entire universal parsec, has not physically incarnated upon the earth, nor has he any future plan nor need to do so. He has evolved to a level where there's no way to even describe him, but he certainly is not at a level where he would need to, in any way, incarnate in a human physical body. But he works indirectly through those of us who are part of the Ashtar Command ground crew who are here on Earth assignment. And that doesn't limit his work. He works with all humanity because he and Jesus are in charge of the ascension and resurrection program for planet Earth and the education and revelation of the divinity inherent in all human beings. That's the primary focus of Commander Ashtar. Now, the gift which Commander Valiant Thor offered to Earth and all humankind was, and I repeat this from the last show, last seminar, a way of life to successfully live free of poverty, sickness, disease, and death. Then President Eisenhower and Vice President Nixon, to whom he gave this offer, replied that this offer from the Star Nations couldn't be accepted, for it would disrupt the economy of this nation and the world. Wow. So, again, the almighty dollar making a buck, the greed, the power-driven system was accepted instead of freedom from poverty, freedom from sickness, freedom from disease, and freedom from death itself. So how sad when you see the devastation that poverty, sickness, disease, and death has produced on this earth since, well, even before 1957, but certainly it's escalated since 1957. So that obviously means that poverty, sickness, disease, and death are unnatural, and that there are star nations and more advanced civilizations where these things do not exist. And that is correct. So poverty, sickness, disease, and death entered into our world through the fall, which was Adam's disobedience to God's command and partaking of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. In other words, he bought into the reptilian agenda of polarity and separation and differentiation and willful subjection to darkness rather than direct fellowship with light and with God. So this is how death and disease tainted all of life upon earth ever since the time of Adam. So there are star nations and civilizations, however, that are non-fallen. And they are here to assist man into returning to his original divine heritage. That's the whole message. Every single real, authentic Son of God that has come here, that has given a true, accurate message, has come in the name of the Most Radiant One, or Jesus, or Lord Sananda. He's known by many names on the inner planes, although Jesus is the name that is best to use on earth, because that's the name by which Jesus went to the cross and purchased the redemption of humanity. So that's why that name is so powerful here. So Jesus already defeated the demonic domination that set humanity, beset humanity. And humanity was set free through grace and bridged. The breach was bridged, which had occurred through Adam, by Jesus reestablishing that connection. And then Jesus established a new covenant, a new agreement of grace ratified by his shed blood. And that's what we call the New Covenant, or the New Testament, which is the new agreement, which is that we're saved through grace, through faith, and not by works, not by anything that we could do or earn, lest we become proud and take the glory for ourselves. So we're saved by grace, by faith. So it's just accepting it through faith, and it's accomplished, it's done. It's as simple as that. And then you're taught how to walk out that Christ life by the Holy Spirit teaching you from within. So even though humanity has been set free, billions still remain ignorant of that fact and live as though they were still under the curse of the old law. That's why you see these retrogressive and ugly acts being accomplished by so many people that are totally ignorant of love and mercy and grace. It's just horrendous things that are taking place on the planet by people who are living completely under the curse of the law, which is cruel and impossible to live under. Who can live under the law? It's impossible. That's why Jesus had to come and fulfill the law through his own blood. So why is that? Again, it's because the visitors the other visitors that do not come through the office of the Christ and the order of Melchizedek, who do not come in the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, they also arrived on earth, but they came with a takeover, domination, subjugation agenda. Did you ever wonder I really love to read the Bible. I like to read all the world scriptures. And I noticed that in the Bible, there were certain enemies of God from the get-go. And these were the ites, the Hittites, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the son of Anak, or the Anunnaki, the Jebusites, etc. There were six of them. And God had the Israelites destroy these six groups of people, right down to every single thing they possessed. Everything was to be wiped from the face of the earth. And God commanded the early Israelites to not worship their gods or to bow down to them or serve them or to adopt any of their practices. Why was that? Well, there was a really good book written by, the time traveler guy, Peter Moon and, I forget his name. But anyway, he wrote the Montauk, the Pyramids of Montauk. That's it. The Pyramids of Montauk. And in it, they describe the practices of some of these fallen aliens. And when you read them, you understand why God was so close tolerant with the Israelites and didn't want them to become contaminated by any of these practices. Now, to connect a few more dots, the fallen ones were the Nephilim, who were called by Ashtar the Unholy Six. Now, according to Tuwela and Ashtar, the imperishable star worlds, or the thrones of God, are located in the area of Sirius and Orion in hyperdimensional space. And within the 17 constellations of Orion, six of those constellations rebelled against God, the Luciferian Rebellion, and set us tumbling into this fallen template that we call the template of duality. And I believe that these are the origins of those six groups of people. Because, again, in the Bible, everything has multiple meanings. And one of the meanings is it's a type and a shadow of certain races or extraterrestrial seed programs that came into the planet at different times. And I think that's why those particular groups were ordered to be destroyed down to the very last person, because they were the ones that had caused the fall that occurred in the prior polar shift and destruction of the pre-Adamic lands. And now we're in the Adamic restoration period from the most recent seed program. So Jesus called some of these ones, whom he recognized as vipers, sons of vipers, and sons of the father of lies, or Satan himself. So he had very strong words to speak against these people whom he recognized. And it was interesting because the only thing in these people's minds ever at any time was to say that he was possessed by Satan. That was, he was not doing works of God, but doing works of the devil. And the only thought they had in their mind was how to silence him and to kill him. So they never at any time showed any kind of an interest in who Jesus was. They never wanted to hear anything he had to say, and they only had in their mind to kill him. So those are the sons of vipers and the father of lies. So what is this telling us? That we are to discern the spirits to see that they truly are of God. And the scriptures tell us that every spirit that does not confess Jesus as Lord and Savior is a negative spirit, and we are to have nothing to do with them. So today we have lots of people out there that are either outright denying the sovereignty of Jesus Christ, or they're speaking such confusion that one is left with more doubt and confusion than faith. And that is the specific agenda of the dark ones, to sow seeds of doubt and confusion, lest you turn to God and be saved through grace and filled with the fire and power of the Holy Spirit. So all true members of the Confederation of Man from the highest divine throne realms will recognize and come in the name of Jesus as Lord and will be found to be in his service and under his direct command. And I have to also say here that there are false Ashtars out there, beings who are using the name of Ashtar, but you can tell it's not Ashtar because the most predominant, in my experience, characteristic of Ashtar is his steadfast loyalty, devotion, and dedication to the Most Radiant One. He is a true disciple of Jesus the Christ, a true disciple. He was trained by him, anointed by him, appointed by him. He comes right out of that same energy of the heart of God. And his whole command, everything that he teaches and says and does, glorifies, magnifies, and exalts the name of Jesus. So anytime you have an astral entity or some being that's channeling themselves as Ashtar and they don't give glory to Jesus Christ, you know they're a lying spirit and they are not Ashtar. And that's why he stopped channeling. He stopped all channeling back in 1994. He told me to tell people. They were not happy to hear that. And had closed every single astral channel down that was channeling him. And for about 10 years, you didn't hear a single channel of Ashtar. And then more recently, there's been a flurry and a resurgence of Ashtar messages. But you'll notice I don't do that. I don't give messages from Ashtar directly, except very, very rarely. And that's because we don't want at any time to point to Ashtar. We want to point you to Jesus and to his Holy Spirit, not to an angel, not to an emissary, not to a messenger. We don't ever do that. You don't worship angels. You don't follow angels. You don't hearken to angels. Angels are sent to be ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. That's you and me and those of us who come under the grace of the Lord. We worship only God in spirit and in truth. We don't worship the messengers. So again and again, we're cautioned not to do that. And again, that's part of the New Age. You know, people are praying to angels and calling on angels and channeling angels and trying to connect with their angel and all of that stuff, which is more just destructive nonsense. And I hope those of you that listen to me regularly aren't caught up in that stuff, because there's no bread of life in that. It's just distractive puff and fluff. And sometimes it can be dangerous also. So very, very soon, because our time remaining in this dimension is very short, and very soon humanity is going to be drawn into direct alignment with the way of their choosing. I think it's already happened. But it's of vital importance to know in whose company you stand, and to let those who are the marked of the Lord say so. You know, be very bold in proclaiming who you are and who you serve, particularly in the inner realms, when you are encountering all these different beings. Live in such a manner, and by your example, reveal the love of the Christ in all that you say, think, and do. Let it show, so that, you know, during the great calling forth, the lifting, the ascension, the rapture, the evacuation of those souls in whom the love of God shines forth, it's going to be very, very soon, very, very quickly, very rapidly. You won't have time to think. You won't have time to even be aware of what's happening. It's going to be over, done so fast. It's going to be, you know, twinkling of an eye, they say, which is like one hundredth of a second of a whatever, a quark, I guess, when it happens. And this would be, these are the scenarios that in which that evacuation would take place instantly. The threat of a massive asteroid impact. The polar shift. Biological or germ warfare. Global plague. Or an earth-fracturing earthquake. Any and all of those scenarios, you will not be left in this dimension to go through any one of those events. So this information comes directly from Ashtar and the Lord Jesus, Samantha. And that's for those of you who are the lovers of God and the servants of humanity. And you know who you are. So it's going to be really, really fast. You won't have a time to think. Your vibration is all that will decide who goes and where. So your vibration needs to be held in that love state. Do everything you possibly can to be at peace with everyone. Don't harbor grievance or unforgiveness anywhere. Every night before you go to bed, think through your day and forgive yourself and anyone who doesn't sit lovingly in your heart so that you stay clear and filled with God's love and spirit. So the mark with which the elect of these days has been marked is actually your soul star on your forehead. And that star-like brilliance shines forth clairvoyantly, can be seen spiritually from one who has awakened or has been born again as a pure child of God. So you show up, you glow, and your energy draws you naturally to the Christ forces and the Christ ships of light, the Merkabas of light, the divine Merkabas of light. So now is the time to go into your inner sanctuary and be spiritually alert and aware, for at any moment you could be called out of this dimension. Don't be attached to anything of this world. As I said in the last seminar, everything you love will await you in God. You don't lose anyone. You don't lose anything in truth. So don't worry. Don't be afraid. Everything that is yours will be with you. And there will be only love and a rapturous ecstasy as you are lifted. I know this firsthand because I have been lifted up physically myself into the Merkaba of light. So I could know that directly and reassure you. You feel such a love of God, you just feel like you're going to burst with divine adoration. And you're praising God with every cell of your being. You're singing songs which glorify God. And that's my experience of being beamed up into one of those divine Merkabas, chariots of holy fire. So there's nothing to fear. However, in the time remaining, make secure your position in Christ. Love God with all that is within you. Prioritize spending quiet communion with the beloved, praying and speaking to the Lord in your heart all throughout the day and night, all the time. Just have a constant sweet communion going on. No ritual, no, you know, prayer by rote. Just the communion of your heart. Sometimes there's such a deep love that fills you, you can't even open your mouth. You can't even say a single word. You can speak in tongues, but sometimes even tongues. You just want to be silent because it's so precious. You can't break the spell of it. It's so all-encompassing, nurturing, and precious. So keep the Lord's name in your mind. Jesus, I love you. It's such a sweet mantra. Use that to replace a necessary thought. Or Jesus Christ, Son of God, my Lord, my Savior, is an excellent mantra. Excellent. You know, don't think. There's nothing to be thought about. You know, if you have to know something, the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to pre-plan. You can live by the Spirit of God, continually filling and guiding and revealing each step that you walk. It's unfolded in perfect, exquisite, divine order. That's how you live in love and walk by grace. It's a totally different way to live in the world. And then you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And just leave every single worry and concern about anyone and everything. Just place it in His hands and trust Him fully, 100%, with every aspect of your life. Jesus said in the Dead Sea Scrolls, that I am with you at all times. I am with you in every place and situation in which you find yourself. I will be with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I have gone before you to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you shall be with me forever. And that is such a beautiful, reassuring constant knowing that not one single person that has taken refuge in the Lord can be wrested from his arms, from his embrace. You are with him and in him, and he is with you and in you forevermore. And all things you can do through the power and authority of his name, and in his name, and in his authority, and in his power. Nothing is denied you. So I hope this has been helpful to you tonight. It's been a strong message, but it's one that needs to be said, and now is the time to say it. So let's chant his name in Hebrew, Yeshua, which has the sacred syllable Hu in the center, which is such a wonderful, easy way to transcend the world, the flesh, and the devil through grace, to the vibration of the holy name of the Lord. Deep breath. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes. Been listening to Commander Lady Athena from the Ashtar Galactic Command. And we say to you in the Venusian language, Vasu Varagas Adonai, which means, in brotherly love, we greet you and we say farewell in the name of the Lord. God willing, I'll be with you this time next week.